You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. And you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food, because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Feed me more.
Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy. I am the Big Guy Ryback, and I'm sitting with one Pat Buck.
I'm here again. We're back in doing our formal introductions. Last show got off the rails a little bit, but we're
hoping we could have redone that. But you just going on the fly.
So they don't want to hear. You know,
it's like my Snapchats where I botch and just I'm like, fuck it.
I think that unlike other podcasts, I mean, I don't know if there's many podcasts. Right now, we have about 12 empty beer bottles.
I drink them like water.
I'll have two more and I'll be good.
I could sit and drink between 20 and 30 beers and like
this. Be fine.
Yeah. Like, not, and obviously I'll feel buzz, but like I can. Yeah.
So like last time we just kind of like went off the cuff and kind of talked about our things. And this podcast will be very ADE like, but we have an idea where we're going today. You know, right now,
a very good message with this one.
Yeah, we're just kind of we're trying to figure out what to say, because last time we had this podcast, last time we had a recording session, because we're not going to lie, we record this all in what you live in Vegas, I'm in New Jersey, New York.
We got to get together, and
once in a while we sit down, we're like, we have to get drunk and record a bunch of bullshit, and hopefully you guys like it and click listen on iTunes and subscribe on Stitcher and all that jazz and leave a review. Please just fucking do it. There's thousands of
cause.
You, tens of thousands of people that listen to this show. Leave a fucking review, please. There's only like 30 reviews so far, but we see the listens and we're appreciative towards it. But anyway,
I'm one of those guys that would never leave a review either, like on anything, or do something. And the people, like, can you please like do a questionnaire and just hang up?
There was one review that just put you, didn't say anything about me, but just put you over to the moon. And it was funny because it said, not Ryback.
What I'm notorious for, which that time was that really on there?
That was odd. So I was like, oh, he put up his own review. It was like, Ryback's great, Ryback's this, Ryback's that. And then not Ryback. And
I'm
like,
I always do that when I swear to God, that was that. I did not do that one. Wow. Because I've done that as a joke with us before on other things. And like, I've done it with other buddies of mine where like they'll ask me to leave a review. And
so leaving a review helps, guys. It helps the algorithm of this podcast. And I don't know. So we're
questions. We had some fan questions, I believe.
There's nothing more brutal than some of the tweets that you get.
I get some
fucking
off the wall tweets. And some people, I'll get some very disturbing messages. And some people, I'll just, as you've noticed lately, I'll reply back very positively to.
You've been too nice to the people.
But you got to remember, like, I just, when I look at some of these remarks and then, you know, you look at them, what they got going on in their lives, and you're like, how unhappy are they right now for them to have to leave that kind of comment? Because something like that never even crosses my mind. And I talk about this in my book coming out in November, The Wake Up, It's Feeding Time. Like, and I have a whole chapter on social media. Well, I'm going to plug the book if I'm going
to talk about it. This whole thing's to plug our bullshit. It really is.
That is the whole point of the podcast. Yeah. Buck. No, in reaching out to the people and talking. But it's social media. You never see anybody of who's had any certain level of success,
yeah,
going on social media, going on message boards and on YouTube and Instagram and leaving negative comments. You know why? Because they're doing stuff with their lives. They are living their lives rather than living their lives through other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very, very, very important thing. And some of the people that leave these comments, I feel like they just need help. They don't, you can't, and replying back with hate and negativity is not going to help anything. And while that's the natural personal way to take it, where you really, you know, like, fuck you, mm-hmm. it really doesn't achieve anything. And so that I've kind of taken to just trying to, there's certain ones, and I don't know all of them, and a lot of people I'll block, and forever you are out of my world, and I'm not going to deal with you.
Well, you're a better man than I.
You actually told me about one of the techniques that you use. I think you should talk about that. That's great.
There's one that's really, I don't know if I've told you about one of the techniques. Which one did I tell you about?
About their job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is great.
As not only
think
just
twice before sending negative comments to Pat.
Oh, don't leave anything bad on the old WrestlePro Facebook page, because I've done this twice. And where people if you say something, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, if someone's creative with their insult, I'll laugh. I'll retweet it if it's fucking really bad. Doesn't mean go
out
of your way.
Tell when there's humor in it, when they're trying to just get a reaction, and when there's a little more personal.
But then there's like I'll say this, for example, my last show at WrestlePro, WrestlePROOnline.com. We had Flair on, and Flair was cool enough to do a video for us. Granted, we fucking paid him for it, but so he did this fucking promo, and it was great, and he plugged our show, and one guy was a real piece of shit, was just like, you know, hang it up and die already, and you know, like, I think that was it, hang it up and fucking die already.
Yep.
And I read that, and I'm like, okay, there's a, like, you know, and if it's a shitty tweet, but like, or Facebook comments, a lot of them I'll let slide, but for some reason, like, that fucking bothers
sometimes
me.
Their face just really fucking annoys you too, more than anything.
Fucking face.
Sorry, but it's the truth.
So I click on this guy's profile, and he happens to work at Sears.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. Buddy works at Sears. I'm going to message the corporate office at Sears and go, hey, my name is Pat Buck, and I run a company called WrestlePro, and I'd like you to let you know that one of your employees is writing about a well-respected performer that happens to be coming in for mine and telling him that he should die.
Very immature comments, but going out into society and supposedly having a normal job and functioning as a normal adult, but acting this way behind a computer screen on social media, which is totally inappropriate.
It's almost like grow up. I think a lot of people just think that the internet's not a real thing, and they don't match their avatar in person. That they're just, oh, I can do and say whatever the fuck I feel without any repercussions. Well, no. And I've written to that, and I've gotten responses from people like, oh, we'll look into this matter. So if you're going to be a thorn and, you know, watch everyone start shit talking. But no, but like,
I think it's great. I think, though, there should be repercussions, and a lot of it, and there's not a lot of times, which is why people do it. And because they're not held accountable for their actions. And
it's like, why do it? Why be a piece of shit? Why, like,
focus on yourself, live your life, and just be the best version of yourself. And you should never have to sit there. If someone bothers you or you hate somebody so much, don't think about them. Don't be going on their page, stalking their page, looking for different things to make comments on. And a lot of it just very immature kids that just don't know better, and it comes from bad parenting, quite frankly. And there's a lot of it out there, and then there's others where they're grown adults just acting like kids, and it's like, come on, guys.
Like, there was one tweet I saw about the podcast where someone just wrote, like, and it had me in it, that's the only reason why I saw this. And I was like, oh, Ryback has a podcast. And it was a GIF, a GIF, I don't know if it's GIF or GIF, whatever you want to say, of Britney Spears making like a snotty face. I'm like, you're a grown fucking 40-year-old man, and you're taking the time to have a little computer clip of Britney Spears responding to two professional wrestlers making a fucking podcast. Just,
by the way, he's listening right now because he's a fucking mark.
Just, and you want to say help these, and you're a better man than I, but I just fucking, I don't know. Part of me wants to say end your life, but It is what it is.
I know what you mean. It's, and we all, and especially, you know, in being in the WWE, and
you anybody, guys got to have thick skin.
Yeah, everybody. It is.
Seriously.
And the more success you have, it is, and the worse it gets. And it's just one of those things. It's, you can't take it personal. And I've had people that have come up to me in person and, oh man, you blocked me 3 years ago. It's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, just, and for me to block someone, you have to say something pretty.
Someone messaged me saying, hey, Ryback blocked me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But please let him know that I love what you guys are doing on the podcast.
Yeah. I have people all the time that will, can you unblock me? You blocked me. I didn't say anything, but I go, if I blocked you.
You did something.
Yeah.
You fucking try to get someone's attention.
I don't have your name by chance. Yeah. There's a completely good reason for it. So, and I never reverse it. Once you're blocked, you're blocked.
So you're looking, do you have any, tweets, any good questions, any good comments?
Let's take a look here on some of the questions we have here on the Big Guys feed. In the first one. From the Orca at Ryback 22. Do you think you could wrestle a whale? I am a whale and I wish to wrestle you.
That's not a bad question at all. This is great. So could you wrestle?
Quite frankly, the Orca, fuck no. what was your dream job before sports entertainment? Growing up, I loved baseball. And I come from a baseball family. My grandfather played baseball. My mom's brother, my uncle, Randy St. Clair, pitched for the Montreal Expos, was the pitching coach for the Nationals.
Really?
Yeah. Pitched for the Atlanta Braves in the World Series during the 90s there.
Wait, what was his name?
Randy St. Clair.
Wow.
And so I come from a baseball family, and that was kind of the first like sport that I learned as
a kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that, to me, I didn't think wrestling was a real job for the longest time. Like, okay. As a kid, I didn't think you grow up to become a professional wrestler. Baseball, though, I played baseball. That was like the number one thing that I did.
Sure.
And I always thought that I was going to be a baseball player for the longest time as a kid. So to answer that question, it would definitely be a baseball player on that.
For me, it was a Power Ranger. That's what I really wanted. I was like, all right.
Which one?
Green. Green was by far, actually, legit story, because I was terrible at baseball growing up. I was terrible at basketball, and that was the only main sports we had in Queens, like, as far as my school. And then my dad, who then ended up not loving me anymore, put me in.
We'll get into that.
Put me in karate. Put me in taekwondo, and I excelled. And I only went into
that. Did you get any belt to that or no?
I'm a black belt.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm a legit. I almost had my second degree, but I'm beyond.
I don't know why. I thought that was a total gimmick and over. Like, were you?
No, man. That
because you would use some of that from time to time.
Kick the shit out. I did a couple things.
I apologize. I was supposed to watch your match tonight, and I got into a conversation with Santino Morella, who I have not seen in some time.
Let's get through this real quick. my best friend here, Ryback, is on. We're on an indie show together.
I watched my one match for the day, by the way, during cardio. I at least watch one match every day, so I did not feel required to watch.
So I'm like, oh, this is kind of fucking cool. We're on the same show, and you're going to be wrestling. Actually, we're going to be doing your first match together coming up soon.
Yeah.
But
you weaseled your way into that one.
I did. I gotta get over, bro. I'm here permanently, man. This is I'm Jerry Lawler in New York, Memphis. And, so anyway, but yeah, I was like, oh, I had this cruiserweight match with Alex Reynolds and John Silver, and you're like, oh, you're up next. I'm like, yeah. And then when I came back, you're like, I saw none of it.
I was very honest about it. But Santino, like, I saw you go out and we started talking, and I got to get over the mod. I wanted to go upstairs and actually watch.
Yeah.
And we just got to talking, and I haven't seen him in a while outside. I saw him earlier at the signing today. We were beside each other, but we got to talking about things, and he's showing me pictures of different things, and we're catching up. And all the meanwhile, I'm trying to like get to the monitor, but I had no. I eventually, about halfway through, gave up and just like, I'm missing the entire match.
It sounded good though. So I hope it did. Tonight was great.
You came right up to me. And like, I just felt horrible.
I had a feeling too.
People were coming up to you.
Yeah.
About the match. It was a hell of a match. That I didn't see, and I had nothing to contribute, and I couldn't, like, I wasn't going to attempt to lie or bullshit about it. So a lot of guys will do that.
Like, oh, that was great, man. Yeah,
yeah.
That's the worst.
It is the worst. What'd you like about it?
Power Ranger stuff. So anyway, like, I was in a martial art, and the only reason why I wanted to do it is because of Expo 123 Kid.
Did you get picked on as a kid a lot or no?
Mixed. Being a redhead growing up, I was.
That can't be easy.
No, you're kind of in a. You're being a ginger. You get made fun of a little bit, but it wasn't.
Which
more
is so stupid when you think about it. Like
and it's something I tried hiding. I'd always dye my hair, and I'd always.
I've noticed a lot of redheads. I feel like
do that. We try to hide it.
Yeah,
and so they put me in and I excelled, and I was fucking good. Trained diligently. It was got really really far. One time in Manhattan.
Sound like me talking about my boxing lessons when I would put myself over. Sorry, keep going.
But I was legit, this was my thing. I sucked at every other sport.
Yep.
Taekwondo was my thing. And then they were having Power Ranger, an audition, because they were going to have the White Ranger.
Yeah.
I was 12 years old at the time, and I went to the audition, and there's like hundreds of people there, and you had to do like different demonstrations with martial arts and weapons and stuff like that, and different fucking karate sequences, and they didn't take any of us. They just used the Green Ranger. He became the White Ranger after, but I did audition to be a Power Ranger when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
So... But now I'm a fucking shitty pro wrestler, and I throw fake punches and kicks.
Fake kicks.
And I promote people throwing.
By the way, tonight my... Sorry, what were you going to say? Oh, I don't want to cut you off.
The kick? You got it. Go.
Yeah. But so tonight on for House of Hardcore, I did a surprise appearance going out there where Meat Hook and Kurt Hawkins, after he turned on the crowd, and Hornswoggle... was just going to do a thing where I, you know, hit him with the shell shock, and he was supposed to try to like walk away to get away. And then yeah. I was going to grab him. Well, that never happened. So we were doing there, and I'm like, I'm just going to do a feed me more at him. And then I'm going to fucking give him the old boot before the stunner. So, you know, so to speak. Yeah. And I give him the boot, and he just fucking takes a flat back and lands on his back. And he goes, I'm sorry. And I'm just, what the fuck are you doing? Like, God damn it. Like, this is all we have to do. And like, nothing looks worse than taking a boot to the stomach. I mean, I guess it's not that
they
bad.
They called it the Brooklyn Brawler Bump.
The Brawler Bump. And then he sandbagged me as I had to throw him up. He's the heaviest fucking
little
guy.
Was that heavy?
Oh, no. Okay, so no, but yes.
Yeah.
When you and I've had to like carry him drunk before on a few different nights. And there's Shocker. Pictures of me and Ziggler, which I will actually post for this episode.
Okay.
Of holding his hand on each side, walking him to the car to drive him to his hotel because he was just so intoxicated. And that reminded me of that tonight. There was another time in Miami in WrestleMania before. I think I debuted like two nights later. And that was like Brock debuted on that Raw. Then I debuted on SmackDown after WrestleMania in Miami, whatever year that was.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
And we went out one night, me, him, and Papa Bear, Hawkins' friend, and Papa Bear, shout out to you.
He's going
to
fucking, oh, Papa Bear's
going to. I just signed an autograph and gave him a chain to hang in his police car.
You should see baby Papa Bear.
He's, from Enterprise to police officer, very proud of you, Papa Bear.
He's very lucky. He has a very adorable son, too. PC3, I think.
Congratulations, PP3. Papa Bear, and I look forward to reacquainting with you very soon. But we went out one night, and Hornswoggle obviously had a little too much to drink again. Sure. I had to carry him around on my back. Like the wasteland position. And Hawkins has a picture, which we could post also, of me looking like I'm going to give him the wasteland. But that was the only way to carry him.
Sure.
Because he's bottom heavy.
He's very stout.
His ass is just 150 pounds of weight, of dead weight. And obviously he's not built like a typical person. The weight is distributed in a more condensed area. So that happened tonight, which, by the way, I saw the photo of me. They took me on Snapchat. I was telling you this, like, so I went from being on the road and coming off my TRT, my testosterone replacement therapy, mm-hmm. which I was on for 5 years, and it kept me in the mid normal range and on the road with inconsistent sleep patterns and this and that. And it's an easy way to keep normal testosterone levels and not have to worry about it.
Okay.
Suffering from low testosterone before for 5 years before. So coming off that and getting my testosterone, like there was a period though, where like my testosterone, it's shut down and then it's coming back.
Yeah.
It's not staying at what it was, obviously, through the supplementation. So like, and then I had the surgeries and didn't work out for 6 weeks. Mm. All that happened on top of each other, which I was like, I'm 34. Like I want to eventually meet a lovely lady and settle down and have a family and have kids. And like, it's
sure.
I have to get that in order now, which by the way, and whether he likes me talking about this or not, do you remember when Hunter went through that period of looking pretty shitty on TV? He has one of the all time greatest physiques, I think, back when like,
sure.
and like, but there was a period where I always remember, I don't know if the rumor was like, he was trying to have kids.
Okay.
But so I remember there was a period where his body was
a little softer.
And he still looked great.
Yeah.
But when you're in wrestling, spandex and tight, they bring out the worst. And
sure.
And you're out there breathing heavy. And I remember there was a period where he didn't look quite as good as what he had before. So I feel like I went through that period myself of, even though I stayed relatively lean the entire time, I lost some muscle mass.
Okay.
And I wasn't working out either for 6 weeks. I wasn't allowed to do anything after the ear and nose surgery. And so I'm just now, my weight is just now coming back and like I'm back to lifting normal and whatnot. So
is this all because of that picture you just saw?
Yeah. This picture, this is
true. No. Let me put this. These fucking big guys have this mentality. I saw this picture. I'm like, fuck, man, you look really, really shredded. I show to you and you're like, that's the fucking worst picture I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but like there's the big guy type, whatever.
It's almost like the opposite of anorexia.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a body dysmorphic kind of thing where like you see that and like you go through and I'm like, dude, I would fucking stab somebody to have a picture like that. I'm pinching my, somebody told me tonight, like, oh, you're built like Finn Balor, but you have love handles. I'm like, oh that's fucking.
I would have went into the back and like, shot myself after that comment.
If I would have had a gun, I would have done that. But,
which by the way, I'll tell this story another time. It was with Santino, by the way, mm-hmm. when I came back as Skip Sheffield after my ankle surgery and I couldn't. Coming off the road, off all that, and I couldn't do any cardio. My ankle, like, we'll get into all that eventually in another later episode. But I just went back on the road after didn't have a match in a year and a half, and I wrestled Alex Riley, and I was in the trunks, and I remember Santino. Everyone was like, "Oh, we can't wait to see you with your shirt off." So that's like, it was after my coming off fat burners,
okay,
and my thyroid was shut down for a few months before I went back on the road, and I had developed like the old Ric Flair love handles. And for me, I'd never had that before.
Yeah.
So like, but I was lean everywhere else, but like it developed right there.
Story of my life. Yeah.
And Santino was like, oh, I can't wait to see. Cause he's always kind of like, he'll put you over.
He's
like,
the best,
but he'll tell you the truth. Like
yeah,
he'll
just
point blank. And I was like, ah, Santino, I got some love handles now. He's like, ah, shut up. You've always been ripped. And I come out of my trunks and fucking trying to get my confidence. I've been out a year and a half. I'm nervous. Like,
this is a
my ankle's
back.
Fucking wobbly still. Like, it had no business even wrestling at this point. And he goes, oh, you weren't lying. You got love handles.
Oh, no.
I wanted nothing more than just go in the back, get changed, and just go home. So, but that's kind of, it's, I've always just been, there's so much work that goes into this. And when you don't don't take anything, it you have to be on point with your diet. But in coming off that and going through that is a process, but I'm mentally tough enough and strong enough to go through that now. But I'm not at my best. I feel like, so I always want to exceed expectations.
All right. Yeah. Not that, that makes a lot of sense. Before we started this podcast, we had an idea of where we're going, and we totally went off that direction. I don't know if you remember the subject we were going to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right, if we want to get back to it.
How, time-wise, where are we at?
I think we're only 10 minutes in. No, we're 22 minutes in, so we got a bit more Time to Kill. And
not kill. I think that what we want to talk about tonight is very important. Like I talked about, it's more than just wrestling on this. And
we'll just say it. We want to talk about family.
Yeah. I think family's,
you know,
beyond important. And it's something that is, we all come from different backgrounds and we all have different stories and different relationships. And it all kind of stemmed. I was telling you about the interview I did with my good friend, Joe Peroni, who was a marriage counselor and bodybuilder in Las Vegas. And was one of the first guys, when I was 19, 20 working at Gold's Gym, that I just had a positive influence on me, who I never really have had a role model or anyone I've looked up to.
Okay.
If that makes
sense. So you've known this dude for a while.
Yeah. And he was just a very intelligent guy. And he always would drop little golden nuggets of wisdom on me and was just somebody I've remained in contact with over the years. And I did his radio show in Vegas this week, and we were just bullshitting afterwards. And he was telling me about, like, he's just such a great guy, and like, but he has the worst relationship with his father. It's like where he's just much different than his dad. And
sure,
it just got me to thinking about like my relationship with my family, your situation with your family. And not everybody comes from a great family. Most people don't come from a great family.
And I think you're onto something here, because I think that we wanted to talk about this because we've had a crazy day around a lot of eccentric people. I mean, that's pro wrestling in a nutshell. But I've found, and you probably have actually seen this probably more than I am, I've known from the board, I mean, we both have the equal amount of experience being around all the guys and everything, but from the fans more so, I feel like people that are drawn to professional wrestling have some sort of family issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
I dare, a lot of the guys in the business, we come from broken homes, or there's some sort of substantial family issue that is not, quote, the norm. I know no one has a really normal family, but I'm talking about there's something like there's just something that's more substantial than a typical person.
Yeah. And for me, all the self-development books and just learning what I have over the years and seeing, and we all, it's funny, like when you're younger, everyone's so hell-bent on kind of like proving themselves and getting away from their family. But it's, I think as you get older, and I think it shouldn't be that way. It should just be this way all the time. Family is the most important thing in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bar none.
But to go into that, I mean, for the years we've known, going back to, I don't know, 2006, so 10 years ago, roughly. And I don't know if family was a priority back then.
Yeah.
For either of us.
No.
You know, we were just kind of like trying to make our path.
Yep.
And then as time goes on, you start realizing like, oh shit, no matter what craziness happens, you still, we've both, and I think it's worthwhile talking about, it's not trying to be preachy in a sense, but it's more so like kind of speak about the importance of just the family unit and kind of having that core base and building it around people, because one, us as individuals, I feel like need it, but also it's just important to kind of, I don't know, it's like our duty almost to do so.
I know for me, I was gone from 7 years in developmental and went home sparingly over that career. And for a lot of wrestlers, I mean, especially guys that come over from like, from the UK and just different countries,
Leave everything behind.
Yeah.
But I mean, for you, did you feel, okay, because you were there the whole time, did you feel guilty leaving?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It was, because it feels very selfish too, because I'm trying to go and live this dream at the time and living, you know, all the way across the country.
Were they supportive?
Yeah, very supportive. But it was, I remember when I first moved to Deep South Wrestling, when I drove and I got there, I was there for 2 weeks. And I remember the school wasn't even built yet. I wasn't even there 2 weeks. And I had to go fly home.
Really?
Because my dogs and like Roxy at the time, my pit bull at the time, who we've since put down. But it was like in my mom and my dad, I was just like, I was going crazy because it was my first time away from home for an extended period of time. And it's a real issue that a lot of the guys have to deal with. But just, we all come from different families. And there's some people out there that
If you want to talk about it, how was your family life? I mean, people may not
know. My family life, so growing up was coming from a very solid, really good middle-class family, I feel like. My dad was a bartender all his life. He's now retired. Okay. My mom, she stayed at home and raised us, and then eventually worked jobs at different casinos and whatnot throughout the years. And obviously, you know, they had fights here and there about things. But it was, we had great Christmases. We had great holidays. And I have very fond memories of my childhood, which is why I want to buy my childhood house back.
So do I. Same thing.
It's one really of my main goals. Which, you know what, by the way, that I have not put that on a board, which okay. needs to be done this week. So thank you for reminding me on that, because it's always just been in my head, and I drive by all the time. And
I drove by mine literally because
where's it at?
In Queens.
Okay.
So I went back to. This is why kind of partly why we talk about this. I think it's really important. The memories from growing up. So yep. I'm driving by my old house, and I look, and the house next door is for sale. And I'm just like, fuck, like teetering on, you know, doing that, but it's not the same. It's not my
house. No, you need your house.
I need my fucking house.
Yeah. And that's what I've gone and walked through my house, actually, within the last couple of years. Okay. There was somebody, no one was living there.
Oh.
It's really hard to find. My sister's tried to look, and there's like not a for sale sign out there.
But no one's living there?
Someone has now since moved
in. Okay,
okay. But they've had multiple people there over the years, and it's in a rundown neighborhood. But walking through that house brought back so many memories, and it was mind-blowing. Like, I always remembered the house being so much bigger than it was, mm-hmm. and then it seeing, like, the actual size in it. But it was a great house, and I want to get it back, and I want to fix it up, and it's going to happen. Like, I already know it's going to happen, but it's... my family has been like, I feel like that's so like a lot of our parents too. One of the things I feel it's important to talk about is everything that we know is essentially what we're taught by our parents when we're kids, and what they were taught is from their parents.
What they were taught,
and or whoever raised them during their childhood, and they have it. I feel like our generation is more prone to looking outside of that. I know I was trying to create my own life, and not just what I was told, but figuring things out on my own as well. I feel like this generation is a little more open to that than they were. Like, I know my mom and dad, and like I told you before, I moved my mom in about a year ago from New York. She was, I don't want to say she was struggling or anything like that, but I'm living in this huge house.
I remember you saying, I mean, because I think a lot of people relate to the fact that there's going to be sometimes there's tension between family
Absolutely.
Members. And I remember I don't want to say there was tension, but there seemed to be some things going on between you and your mom. And you're like, I have to move her in. And I'm like, are you sure? That's a big responsibility. Yeah. That could potentially ruin, you know. That could go sour really quick, and that could sever your relationship, because living together with someone is a totally, you know, it's a horse of a different color.
Yeah.
But you did move her in, and from talking with you, it sounds like it's like the best thing you ever did.
Yeah. And it was, I remember contemplating about it for quite a while, and because I didn't always get along with my mom, based on just some certain things, and she's a great person, but it would be like, obviously there were some issues on certain things that always bothered me. And it was one of my sisters. She'd lived with my sister for a while and then eventually moved back home. And I'm just looking at it, like, I'm on the road 4 or 5 days a week. And I have this 2-bedroom apartment with full kitchen and washer dryer. And like, she has her own house within my house.
Yeah.
And where it's not even like she's living with me, but she's still, you know what I mean? And when I had that house built, I had that part added on. So it was almost like, and I don't know why I did it, because I could have had that for the gym, like that extra. But I was like, I'm going to need this. I don't know why I'm going to need this. I should get this. And things weren't necessarily great with her. And I was just, I felt like an asshole. Like, I feel like our relationships with our parents, it's up to us to mend those sometimes. It's not, I think we look at our parents as, we still feel like kids no matter what with them, even though we're grownups. They're like, we think they're going to fix everything. And because we're used to that, or that just seems like the logical thing. And it's not always the case. And as I've matured and gotten older, I've realized that it's up to me to try to mend some of these fences and reach out in different ways. And that was my way of trying to better our relationship, mm-hmm. if it makes sense.
No, no.
And moving her in, and I don't regret it at all. I think I feel good having her at home and being able to help her out. She works full time, and eventually she's going to be helping me, working for me. Mm-hmm. So, and she's helped me out tremendously being home, and I love my family very, very much. And it's just, if you're out there and you have a relationship with your parents that isn't necessarily ideal, you don't have to wait for them to fix it. You can do it yourself also. So.
And in a loose sort of way, I remember, it seems like it's kind of a small happy ending with you and your mom. What I mean? Like,
absolutely.
And just to take from that, I just think it's, we both, from the journey we've been on, kind of realize, oh shit, like family, like, because I do think we're both kind of loners. And then
we're like,
but you know what, we got to, I come from a small family. I don't know if your family's small.
My mom, my dad, and my sister, Carly, and myself. But like, to touch on one other thing before.
Sure.
Because I definitely want to talk about your situation.
I just pulled up an old message. So yeah.
I feel like it's very important. And it's something I feel like more.
I might have to pass me one of those beers before. Yeah.
I'm going through them quick. Oh, let me give you a cold one there. Sorry about that. Like the relationship, like my dad, like growing up, like my dad, I talk about this in my book, like he always, he's a full-time bartender, but I played baseball and soccer when I was younger, and then football eventually in high school with baseball. He always took me out and pitched to me and my friend Kevin Salisbury or Justin Belanger, like my other buddies that played baseball, or usually me when he took me, it was usually me and him. And he would take me out there into one of the local schools and pitch to me and hit infield and take practice. And I look back and I'm like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Because he's working 8 hours a night, 30-minute drive. You know what I mean? There and back.
He put the extra time in
to help me in those develop those athletic skills and spend that time with me and looking at me like how busy I am now. And like, like, man, like it was like, and he was at that time probably the age I am now, and I'm like, God, I can't even throw right now. My shoulder's so bad. And what would I do with, I got to play fetch with my dog and have to throw underhand.
How do you, Michelob Ultras are coming up, but is he the reason why you got into wrestling? I mean,
No, he didn't. He never liked wrestling.
So how'd you find it?
I just.
On your own?
Yeah.
Wow.
On my own.
Okay.
Which I feel like it was one of those things I think I came across. I think they took me to an event, like I mentioned before, when I was around 5 or 6 years old, we went to a random wrestling event in Vegas where it was Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. And that stuck in my mind.
Pretty fucking good event.
All I remember are the yellow trunks and the black singlet. But that always is ingrained in my mind, my first wrestling memory. And I think it was just, they were probably like, oh, wrestling's in town. Let's take the kids to something.
And that guy.
I remember screaming in one of those bullhorns.
Yeah, sure.
And all night just screaming. I don't remember anything else, yellow and black.
And leaving there, you're just hooked.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then there was a gap between me finding it again because it wasn't something I was so young.
Yeah.
And then I finally found it on my own, and it was nonstop from there. But I feel like he was more of he's a sports guy. He's a guy who watches sports nonstop, and he's a Dodger guy. He's an LA guy all the way. He's from California. And I'm kind of out of the touch. I try to catch up with sports here and there, mm-hmm. but I'm just like so about just staying busy and evolving.
I tried to get you into fantasy football.
Yeah. It's for anything that just like takes away my time from me just evolving in life. It's like I told you, but I'm really working on being happy now and enjoying my time now and taking breaks from working all the time. But it's a mindset. And I remember it was one argument we got in when at one point when I was starting to get older was something happened, and he got like he's he's like me. He'll go from 0 to 100 when he loses his temper. And I've gotten better at controlling that as I've gotten older. But he'll just randomly, when something pisses him off. And I remember, this is really funny, if he's listening, he said something about, I don't know what it was, but he goes, got in an argument, and he goes, and you're goddamn fucking wrestling or something. And like, and I, don't you fucking talk about wrestling. And like, grabbed him and threw him against the wall, but I like ripped his shirt off.
Oh no.
And I was just so angry like that, like, don't try to insult me. And, it was, and that was the only ever, like, a lot of kids get in fights with their parents. And
at
like,
what age could you beat up your dad?
I don't know. I don't know what, I mean, I think at that point I was pretty,
how old are you? 16?
So I remember being a kid, just so this is very off the wall. I remember being a kid, and my mom and dad would get in arguments, and there's some of them would be very heated, as all families have arguments, and knowing what those were about now and whatnot, and I don't blame my dad at all, but he would be extremely angry, and we didn't know why. And I would have to hold him against the wall as a kid.
Okay.
Young, very young.
Yeah.
And I was able to do it. And he's not a small guy. He was college football with a running back. And
see,
like,
Rogers swinging them golf clubs in the backyard.
The big guy has been strong his entire life, thank God. And, but yeah. And then that's something I don't know if I should talk about that, but it was nothing ever came of it. And it put over my strength. So
sounds like you had a pretty good, you know, pretty good.
It wasn't bad at all, but I would consider it very, very good.
Yeah. But I mean,
what's your story?
It's a little different than that. I mean, the reason why I'm in wrestling, I psychologically think I wonder this with fans too. Like, I think that if you're really a hardcore, you know, if you're in wrestling, that there really is something, and there's normal people that follow, but I feel like there's some sort of void. I do. And, my dad, my earliest memories of wrestling, I remember my dad and my uncle, he wasn't really my uncle, he was my fake uncle, who's like my dad's friend, but I called him uncle. I remember the first time I saw wrestling was a Flair versus Dusty Rhodes match, and it was on, they were ordering a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Apparently my uncle was a real big mark, and would drag, my dad was too, and they would watch pay-per-views together. And they would take me to shows, and I mean, not just the local fucking shows. My family was hardcore, or my dad and my uncle were, where we lived in New York. We would travel as far as Baltimore. I mean, literally we were on the road watching fucking shows. Nassau Coliseum, Hartford, Connecticut, Providence, Rhode Island, upstate in Albany. Literally, if there was anything, an independent show, which I remember I went to early ECW when fucking Bubba Ray Dudley was Mongo Vile, and Taz was the Tasmaniac. I mean, I went to fucking some early stuff.
Before this gets too serious, I would just like to say, so you are a second generation Mark.
Yeah, I'm a second.
Okay. I've mentioned this, and this is a very real thing, by the way. People, third generation, fourth generation Marks, like it
Holy shit.
The very deep level of Markism. Like it is, so you are a second generation.
I'm a second generation Mark.
Okay, cool.
Dude, and I'm actually in a couple clips. There's like a, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I was a big, the reason I'm in wrestling is ECW. That's what like pulled the trigger. Yeah. I want to be a part of it. I'm a, you know, New York, New Jersey guy going to all these shows. Tonight's very ECW like, here in the Philly arena. I'm actually in a couple things as a little kid. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the match. It's Mick Foley versus fucking Terry Funk. And Terry fucking gets up and goes, give me a chair. And people start fucking throwing hundreds of chairs. Yep. I'm in the crowd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You were in the crowd for that.
He's like, we got to go. Yeah.
Who was, by the way, at the signing today? I didn't get a chance to say hello to him. I saw him.
Oh, the Funker?
Yeah.
He's the best.
I haven't seen him in a while.
So, I went to a couple of WrestleManias as a fan, like whatever. So it's embedded in me. So, but I don't know how to get to this. I don't talk to my dad anymore.
I remember we've talked about this.
Yeah, I got a lovely letter actually. I've never read this before, but what time were you at?
We're at 42 minutes.
Holy fuck. Jesus Christ. This is supposed to be a family. I thought this was 5 minutes in. The beers are kicking in.
I feel totally fine. I knew we were, I mean,
maybe I can kind of sum this up, but basically like,
I would like to talk more about this. I think there's a lot more
going.
To talk
we can
about.
Keep going.
I'm saying even on the next episode,
but me and my dad were never never close. And I remember, you know, he was a very good provider. He was there for my family. However, he didn't talk to me or my brother, like literally did not talk, which I think is a reason why me and my brother are very quiet or very, you know, withdrawn.
A lot of that too, I've noticed with fathers, I feel like is the relationship with their father that they had. They kind of carry that over to their kids.
Kind of,
a lot of times. And it like, it, sometimes it takes two or three generations to make that change where like, you're like, oh, I don't like this. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We can control that though. I feel like it's up to our generation.
But it's up to us to go. My whole point, literally, a lot of the things I do in my life, I kind of think about how my dad would approach things. I go, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do the opposite because I can, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
No, but I mean, sometimes I know people listening to this, you're not dealt, you got a pretty decent, you know.
Everyone has different stories and they're dealt different hands. And I've always talked about this. It is up to us to approach it in a positive way and make the best of it and to start our own families. Or if it's something that cannot be resolved, you know, it's starting your own family and instilling the values that you want to instill and pass on to the next generation.
Yeah.
But, and we'd all, everybody has a different situation and I feel like it's, family is so important. And you look at the families that are like, we've talked about this and like, and your wife has a great family.
Yeah.
It's very admirable. It's such a good feeling to see that. And it does exist.
Sure.
And there's some great families out there and it makes me very happy to see that. And we all should strive to have not necessarily that, but the best relationship that we can with our families.
I think you're creating it for yourself, but more so for me after a couple failed.
Yeah.
Couple.
You've done a lot to try to mend the fence and.
Well, yeah. Like for myself, I was like, okay, dated a couple girls, you know, things didn't work out. Let me try to fix my family. And I didn't have a great hand. Grandma's still kicking. She's 96.
She looks great. Saw her at the wedding.
Saw her at the wedding. Yeah.
She is.
Which is nice. A lot of my friends and a lot of her friends were just like, were blown away by her and just the elements of family there because we're talking about family and keeping on the subject of family.
Yep.
Reason being is because, my mom was the best. She was absolutely wonderful. She's a reason why I have everything I have, why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but just the fact that she was a very wonderful person. And, you know, she passed away early. You know, she passed away at 46 years old, which is scary because, I mean, I talked about the blood work stuff. I have to go to an appointment to check to see if I have this breast cancer gene. I'm not playing a violin here, but just to know, like, oh, crap, I'm 32 years old. My mom was 35 when she was diagnosed.
Yeah.
So it's like to know that I'm approaching that age where my mom was sick for it all. So it's pretty wild.
I would like to hear more about that on the next episode. I think this is one of those episodes where I think we need a part two for family.
Yeah, and, maybe.
I think it's a very important issue and there's so much more to talk about. And like we talked about before, it's more than just wrestling and it's real life issues that everybody goes through. And I think sharing our personal, you know, insights and,
I think more so, I'm laughing about this. We won't say names, but we were, you know, we see a lot of riffraff at this convention, at the show.
Absolutely, yes.
A lot of different people, not just some of the, you know, we expect more from the boys, and we saw a couple of our, you know, peers and former peers, and people are wrestling, not wrestling. And I won't say who it is, but you made a comment about someone, and you're like, life has defeated them.
Yeah.
And it was just more so like, because you just know that at the core, they're just fucking alone. They don't have a good, they don't have that, you know, there's no, I just feel like no matter what kind of shitty situation that you're in, even if your current family is the shits, because it could be, and not that my
that.
Was, but parts of my family were,
yep.
You still have a responsibility to create a new one or create some sort of, I feel like I've surrounded myself with, before my family situation got good,
with people who care about you and love you as friends,
and it's your responsibility to do that. You know,
love never goes away, even though you might not get it from the people that you want. There's, you know, the ability to love does not just go away. So you sometimes have to look in other places, but it is out there.
So yeah, so we're a couple pro wrestlers talking about family and love.
What I would like to, before we continue, this is on the last one, but we started this off with some questions.
Let's get back to some fucking humor.
I would like to just, because there's some real golden nuggets here on questions before we end this podcast. At Ryback22 from TJ at TJ91. So people,
great,
listen to this podcast. If you want to reply to at TJ91, feel free to go ahead and message him on his timeline.
I have a feeling this is going to be a very nice, positive question.
At Ryback22, why did you greedily demand more money? You are a bad wrestler, mm-hmm. terrible on the mic, yep. and a complete bore to watch. Hashtag Rybotch. Dear TJ91, I did not demand more money, so I do not know where you're getting your information from. You are a bad wrestler. Please provide me proof that is showing that I am a bad wrestler. I am terrible on the mic. I completely disagree with you. I think you are terrible at life. And you are a complete bore to watch. Well, I appreciate you spending the time to apply to me on my timeline. Hashtag Rybotch. The name is Ryback. It is now my legal name. So fuck you. The other question, summing this up, from TJ91 once again, has decided to leave multiple messages at Ryback22. Roids.
Yes.
Dude couldn't even lift up Paul Heyman. I do know the match you're talking about. It was a live event in Connecticut. Paul Heyman, I was supposed to, after a Punk match with a DQ, mm-hmm. Paul, I was supposed to pick him up for Shell Shock. And at that time, I started tucking my head with guys because of this, actually. Paul, he goes, oh, just pick me up out there. I go, Paul, bullshit. You are not built like a normal human being. And by that, I mean you have an enormously fucking fat stomach.
Yeah.
But I was very nice about the situation. And he's, you can just pick me up out there. So I knew better. I should have tucked my head under him. And when I picked him up, and I get out there to go pick him up, and he's pitter-pattering his feet. He's fucking all over
flailing,
the place.
Yeah.
He'll admit he's the most unathletic fucking human being in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And I actually respect and like Paul a lot more now after we've cleared the air years ago over different bullshit issues. But I go to pick him up, and his fat fucking stomach hits me in the forehead. I couldn't clear the fucking 2 feet of stomach over my head.
Oh, my God.
At that time, I was picking guys up and then ducking my head under, which was actually hurting my spine and my neck,
yeah.
which is a whole other fucking conversation. But so that happens. And he goes, oh, God. And I had to say, literally go, God damn it, Paul, just sit fucking still, which the crowd heard me just. And then I fucking boom, pick him up, hit him with the deal. Everybody goes, I'm happy. But that is what he is referring to. And I did pick him up. So fuck you,
man. This TJ guy,
you are going to be blocked very shortly, buddy. But I do wish you the best for your life. And I think we're good with this episode.
We're 50 minutes in. You can follow me at Buck Never Stops on Twitter, WrestlePROOnline.com for all your New York, New Jersey independent bullshit. Yeah, that's it. Until next week.
Yep. Check the big guy out at feedmemore.com. You got at Ryback22 at Twitter, at the big guy Ryback22 on Instagram, and Ryback247 on Snapchat. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Conversation with the Big Guy.
The clock's ticking away, and so are your chances to score $1,500 in available bonuses on a new 2017 Jetta or Passat during the Volkswagen Model Year-End event. So visit your Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. Volkswagen of America, Inc. will pay a $1,500 bonus comprised of a $1,000 Volkswagen bonus and an additional $500 August bonus when you purchase or lease a new, unused 2017 Jetta or Passat model through a participating dealer from August 1st, 2017 to September 5th, 2017. Bonus applied toward MSRP and is not available for cash. Fleet customers are not eligible. See your local Volkswagen dealer or, for general product information, call 1-800-DRIVE-VW.